Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Issue 26.5. So this is our 26th review episode. And surprisingly, the last few weeks, we've crossed over on a lot. But this week, we cross over on only a little. So, with that very exciting piece of announcement, I know everyone, I can see the people in this room falling asleep already. Why don't you wake us all up, Kat? What do you have for us?
The first one I'm gonna do is Amazing Spider-Man Wakanda Forever. Don't read it.
End review.
Yeah.
It was terrible. I was sad. I got, like, the art in it. There's not a lot of detail for between characters. I mean, I just spent, like, 10 minutes. Like, I'm not crazy, right? Like, they don't have very differentiating features besides their facial tattoos.
Yeah, it's true. All the...
And Malice looks like she's been on cocaine for a while.
Oh, man, that was, like, that's, yeah.
Yeah, she definitely looks like America's not been treating her well.
Yeah. America, like, chewed her up, spit her out, and then gave her some more cocaine.
Yeah, she gets exiled from Wakanda and comes here. The first thing that happens is someone's like, hey, you want to try this crack? You're like, ooh, is this an American tradition?
Yeah,
like, yeah, why not?
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what happened.
And then that was 20 years ago, and yeah, she's like been homeless ever since.
Yeah.
Is what she looks like in this book.
I'm straight up going to unsubscribe to this because this is, like, nothing like I thought it was going to be, like, this big action-packed, like, awesome. No, this is the campiest shit ever. And after watching Black Panther and Okoye being campy, I was like, what is this?
Yeah. I could see that being not...
No, it was unpleasant. And
that's kind of funny that the Black Panther craze is getting so big that it's even going into the world of campiness.
Right. Yeah, the last awesome. Place it should technically be.
Yeah, like this great, like icon of, like, black culture is right. Like a little Funko Pop comic book character.
Yeah, that's basically what I just read. I'm not even going to lie.
Simulacra and simulation.
The bad guy thing that she uses is literally controlled by a drum. And it's like a big purple cloud amoeba. It's bad.
Okay, alright.
Alright, yeah.
Do you have anything else? Do you have anything?
Positive to say no.
Alright. Get us out of here.
Sure. I'll get some quick hits. Justice League number 3 by Scott Snyder with art by Jorge Jimenez.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I love this book because I have no idea what the hell's happening. There's something called the Totality and, like, aliens, and then Batman is driving.
And then the ultraviolet lanterns.
And the ultraviolet, and Batman is in a spaceship inside of Superman's brain. It's invisible.
Yeah, I know. That's what the weird part is.
Well, that's why we haven't seen it before, is because the ultraviolet spectrum is invisible, so we've never encountered them because they didn't know they were there.
That's the funny part, though, is it's like, wait, what construct is that? It's a bike.
Oh, this is, yeah, there's, this is nuts.
How do you fight
gorgeous.
What you can't see?
Yeah, how do you fight emotions that control you? There's so many themes and so much, like, yeah, it's just crazy.
Go home and read this. It was in my stack. I don't know where it went.
I've got Dr. Star and the Kingdoms of Lost Tomorrow, issue number 4, was the finale of this miniseries. I cried. This is sad. It's really well written and sad. And once again, what did I say about it? Oh, it's sad.
I got sad
this
out of
it? This is sad. The final page is sad, okay?
Aww.
What the fuck is that?
That's his son. Oh, it's sad. Right.
Whoa, I have no context, and that's a very sad picture.
I'm gonna go cry in the corner now.
Google Power Rangers number 11. Yeah, can we just get more stuff by Dan Mora? This was not sad. This was awesome. and then I'll end with something to pass over to Patrick here. Black Panther number 2. You got Star Wars in my Black Panther.
Yeah.
I ain't even mad, though. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm like...
Yeah, it looks like... Yeah, this is basically like the...
Donald Glover's in there.
Like the Rebel,
right?
You know, flying along the Death Star scene, but
yeah.
With Black Panther
I did not understand Lando being in the cockpit with him, but, I mean, it makes sense. It works.
Well, Marvel and, you know, Star Wars are owned by Disney. And if you watch Patton Oswalt's rant about the Marvel Star Wars crossover.
Where's it? Very thorough. Donald Glover
get here. Yeah.
There's some major questions, though, that's raised, especially when the reveal of who the villain is, which we still don't know who the villain is.
But that was crazy. Basically, like, evil emperor of... Evil Black Panther Emperor.
Yeah, I don't want it to end up being Killmonger, because you're just sort of, like, then echoing the movie.
Yeah, because he is wearing the Killmonger-style Black Panther armor, but also with, like,
the Golden Jaguar.
Yeah, but also with the classic,
is he actually gold?
Black Panther cape.
Just the gold, like, cheetah pattern.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's dope looking.
Yeah, it's super dope.
Singing The Weeknd in my head right now.
Right, I know me. I've got Pray For Me stuck in my head now, like, as I'm reading.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But, this book is a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. We gotta talk about Daniel Acuña, though, if you are gonna talk about artist in this book.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. Especially for, like, the content. Like, I don't know, like, this sort of, like, hyper-realistic almost, and, like, the sci-fi
elements. Like, it's very, like, 80s sci-fi, everything's very angular and, like, video gamey. It's super cool.
Yeah, that's true. All the ships kind of look like something you'd see in, like, an arcade game.
Yeah, like, the arcade version of Tron or Space Invaders, you know, like, they tried to do a 3D version of the game or something.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet, though.
Yeah, no, it is. That's awesome. It's, yeah, great book.
Great book. That's all I have, so.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, I got a couple. I think I'm going to try to do some quick hits and then bounce back over to one that we shared, too. So, firstly, Shade the Changing Woman. Man, this book, I just constantly rave about it. I was boring Nat and Kat earlier. Now I'm going to bore you with this.
I don't know if it's boring me. More like
amazing.
I might want to cry about it.
Quote. Yeah, just like.
Like, you got. I mean, I will say this. Like, for anybody who's having hard times, I don't know if you should read that.
I don't know either, but, like, this book is basically, like. I mean, I was talking about Tom King's, like, prose poetry style, and, like, really, this book, like, all the narration in it just feels like you're reading poetry. And so, just some context here, in the last issue, she didn't want to feel any more feelings, so she took her physical heart out of her body and just, like, threw it.
That's this weird crazy thing.
Yeah, it's this book, it's just nuts. And then she says, where does a heart live when you can't find it? Where does it go when you can't feel, or you feel too much? Who holds on to it when you're gone? If you know how to read it, a heart is a compass. Oh, man. Just absolutely beautiful. Cecil Castellucci, thank you very much. Great meeting you at DCC.
Nice.
This next one I have, this is Ms. Marvel number 31, but Legacy number 50. So this is a big, oversized, spectacular issue. Yep. So, wow, 50 issues. And this has some, basically a slumber party with a couple inserted stories by guest authors and artists, including The Daily Show's Hasan Minhaj, who writes a story about a semi-villainous pizza delivery driver who brings their pizza to the slumber party, and then Miss Marvel has to go fight her. There's all this stuff. She helps Lockjaw run after a teleporting cat.
That's awesome.
And
that you say that.
Then in the end, finally reveals to her friends that she's Miss Marvel, and they're all like, yeah. We know this is like old news. We're just waiting for you to tell us.
She's wearing your church attire.
Yeah, exactly.
It's cool.
So then I got Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. This is just awesome because this is number 32. We get Wilson Fisk's adopted daughter, who is like just the best character. Is the classic. Daddy told me that this is my school now.
Oh my god,
I'm going here.
She like Princess from Power Girls, you know what I'm talking about? Powerpuff Girls?
Yes, no, exactly. She's basically exactly that, but kind of looks like a small.
What's her name?
Her name is Princess.
Oh, is it real? Oh
yeah,
my god.
Princess Fisk.
That's amazing.
She said, Daddy says my name is Princess because I am one, and Daddy says that I am going in. Yeah, it's just. It was just hilarious. I was cracking up the whole time.
I want this character now in Daredevil season 3.
Oh my god, yes! Yes, I know. Wouldn't that be great? No, I just had to give a shout out to her. The great character. Then quick shout out, Mother Panic Gotham AD. Crazy ass shit. We still don't know what happened in this. All we know is that all the Robins except Jason the Red Hood have died, and now he basically runs like this cult of like people that go out and murder people to bring like safety to Gotham. They have like the Joker crucified.
This is fine. Everybody can read it.
Yeah, exactly. and then
family friendly entertainment.
He sends out the Scarecrow, like their version of the Scarecrow, who works for Lord Robin. And then he fails him and comes back and Jason shoots him in the head. And yeah, this is very family friendly.
Wow.
Fun times were had for all. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's great. Finnick Fox is a great character too. Basically hit girl with fox ears.
Yay.
Alright. And then lastly I have, this is Marvel Rising, Squirrel Girl and Miss Marvel. Written by Ryan North and G. Willow Wilson and Devin Grayson. Nat also read this one. So I do want to see, because I love North and Wilson's work, but I'd love to hear your take on it from somebody who's not quite as avid of a fan, I would say.
I want to go back now and read anything that Ryan North has written. it was just so much fun to read this, and I've read the first volume of Miss Marvel, so I knew what I was going in for on that side, because yeah, G. Willow Wilson, I equate the first Miss Marvel trade as being as good as like the first appearance of Peter Parker, you know, like it's that level of intensity and like importance and just awesome writing. Yeah, it was just fun. I like having fun when I read comics, and I had fun reading this comic. Unfortunately, I haven't read all of the second half yet because it's a big issue.
It's basically two full issues in one. We have a full issue written by Ryan North and then a full one written by G. Willow Wilson, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's like 50 pages or something like that. So pretty good bang for your buck on that.
Like on all that of the time sure. that is spent trying to figure out the logistics of how Emulator gets her.
Yeah.
Like, there's way too much time trying to figure out how it works as opposed to saving, you know, people or catching her. How does this happen?
Yeah, Miss Marvel and Squirrel Girl are just obsessing about the specific, like, how does the villain's powers work. They're like, she can't be actually creating these things. It has to be, like, portals or something.
And then they postulate that the ape was actually, like, we need to call the zoos to see if there was an ape being transported.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Because they're fighting this, like, Donkey Kong. Her powers are basically, like, to pull video game things out. And, they're fighting, like, a Donkey Kong. I love how they, like, the trademark things. And Ryan North's, like, way around that all the time. He's like, we were fighting some sort of Kong of donkeys, if you would.
Yeah.
Or, like, there's another one, I think, where he's like, if it was some sort of bat-themed man, for instance.
Yeah, it was really well written, really fun.
Oh, man. You know, Ned, I hate to brag here, but I keep railing about Miss Marvel, and then you read it, and you're like, hey, this is really good. And I keep talking about how awesome Squirrel Girl is, and you read one issue.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm not going to say that I have the best taste in comic books, but, you know, if I put my gold seal of approval on something, just saying for all you listeners out there, you can take Nat and Kat's recommendations as you will, but
damn.
But mine are
look at that shade.
Mine are so
I know, that
true.
Was
the
like,
lights off?
Yeah, it's like, it's
are,
real dark in here.
Mine are 100% guaranteed.
Kat, what do you have for us?
I don't know
if
I can come back after that.
Yeah. Damn. What do you have for us aside from that knife that you're slowly pulling out and moving in my direction?
No, sir. I believe in gun rights.
That is true.
Oh, man.
I forgot that.
So let's talk about somebody who deflects bullets.
So I've managed to steal 5 and 6. Damn.
Yeah.
Bendis is taking this in a direction I didn't necessarily expect to go. Yeah. So I'm gonna spoil this. I'm gonna spoil the shit out of this. So if you haven't read it,
don't listen. Do it. I'm kind of interested, not enough to read it, but I mean, I'm interested in what happens.
So basically, by the end of it, they capture the dude who's trying to blow everything up. Like, he goes back, and it seems like he's the one who actually was Krypton's destruction. He planted something in the core, is what it looks like, and it broke. And it sounds like he was responsible for why, because he believed that Kryptonians needed to be blown off the face of everything, of the universe. And since Superman lived there, that means that they've been exposed to Kryptonians, which means that they all need to die too.
Yeah.
Like, this dude is like a super zealot.
Refers to them as cleansing.
Mm-hmm. I'm real curious where he came from, because now I'm probably going to end up reading Supergirl, because I'm like, I want answers on who the hell you are and what happened and what they did to you, because what's up with your face?
Yeah, Bendis did an amazing job of resetting the status quo without changing core elements of the character.
Yeah,
like, it's still
not
Clark. It's still, you know, Supergirl, but they have specific tasks that they need to go on. Supergirl wants to search the universe and figure out where this Rogalzar came from,
mm-hmm.
because there seems to be no history of this alien race. And then, so that's what her book is going to focus on. And
mm-hmm.
then Lois and John have been taken by Jor-El.
Yeah, and they're going through the universe, and the worst part is his dad kind of talks shit to him about how he's raising his family and everything.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. I mean, I didn't read when
he... Not only did he talk shit to him about how he's raising his family, he kept questioning if he's doing enough as Superman.
Yeah. I was like, you're a dick! Wow! And then the other part of it was, is the realization, and it also makes me wonder, it makes me think back to, like, what, issue one or two, where there's a bunch of fires going on. No, and it's an arson. No one knows who it is. No one knows what's happening. It's making me question if Batman knows who it is, because he's told, I'm pretty sure he was the one that told him, look at the pattern on a map and see what it is.
Yeah.
And some little kid at the very end of six comes in and says, I saw it, it was Superman who lit the fires. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
So I'm like, is there like some evil Superman running around, or has he lost his mind?
I don't know. Bendis strikes me as the type who's going to bring back all of the classic villains.
Mm-hmm.
So this might be a like a lead in to a Bizarro.
I'd be game.
Or maybe a line of Bizarros, like Superman has been cloned again, and there's some sort of new versions of these,
mm-hmm.
these clones.
So that was the other thing, too, is I'm curious what he's going to do, because I don't know. Superboy doesn't look like him, right? The crazy Superboy, Superboy Prime, who has, like, the ridiculous amounts of power.
He does look like him.
He does? Curiosity strikes again. But I thought it was really good. I'm really interested to start reading Action Comics and Superman titles because of these. So, I mean, read them, but I guess I just ruined them, so read Superman and Action Comics.
read Man of Steel anyway. I think when this comes out as a trade paperback, it's going to be a very nice, like, it's well-paced.
It's really good. It's well worth a read. It's amazing. Like, he took Superman and turned him on his head in a way I didn't expect him to.
Mm-hmm. And so, he got rid of Lois for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Except, like, normal, like any other comic, which is usually the Superman I like, he usually gets a little derailed when something like that happens. But then again, his dad also questioned him as, like, basically as a man, too.
Yeah. Oh, and they give him a reason for the classic Trunks being back.
Yeah, they do. They actually, he's like, hey, by the way, this is why this is. And I was like, aw,
makes
dang.
Makes sense.
All right.
So we won't spoil everything.
No.
Cool. Yeah.
The important bits.
Yeah. The most important part we don't want spoiled. Like, why is the Trunks back? Tell us that. We have something to read for.
I've got a couple more quick hits. I've got Jim Henson's Beneath the Dark Crystal number one. So great. So much fun. Like, all the world building fantasy stuff that you want from, you know, Dark Crystal stories. And makes me feel sad because I haven't finished reading the previous Dark Crystal story, but this is an element that deals with the joining of Thra and Mithra, I believe, which is the fire world that exists underneath Thra. So yeah, it's really, really, really cool, and I enjoyed the heck out of it.
So for somebody that's not acquainted with the Dark Crystal at all, would you say it's readable?
Yes, absolutely, because you don't need to read the previous stories. It's
okay.
Just kind of like, it's like dropping yourself into a fantasy world.
Okay.
There you go.
Huh.
Yeah. So it starts the same way. It's another world, another time, a world of countless ages. Ages of wonder, fear, of light, of darkness, of countless possibilities, and then just sort of goes into fairy tale style.
Okay, yeah, because I've not seen the movie or read any of the other things, so that's why I was kind of reluctant on picking that
it's
one up.
It's a weird one, too. Like, the Dark Crystal franchise, because the movie is so, like, it's so rooted in the 80s, and it's all Muppets, it's really interesting to try to extrapolate that we got this far with it.
Yeah.
Because the world is really the best part of that whole idea. Yeah. So.
Talk about cult classics, though.
Yeah.
The Jim Henson stuff is, like, probably some of the most culty, consistently culty.
Right.
I mean, they're coming back, though, a lot of them, too.
I'm going to do a little longer right here. I'm going to talk about the Cosmic Ghost Rider number one. This is Donny Cates with art by Dylan Burnett. And
cover front is dope looking.
This book is dope. This is Donny Cates being Donny Cates and going, I'm going to do the Donny Catesiest thing I could possibly do. So Donny Cates' writing style is very rooted in, like, the 1950s and 60s Marvel style. Like,
no, just, the, like, ridiculous action.
Ridiculous. Like, well, and, like, there's the word bubbles explaining what is happening, but like, you're reading it going, what the hell?
Yeah, like, just crazy, like, explanations that don't make sense. And
yeah, well, so the book, so the Cosmic Ghost Rider is Frank Castle after he's become the Ghost Rider and then given the power Cosmic, and this story takes place after the Cosmic Ghost Rider dies. So Frank is in Valhalla because for all of the things that he did as Punisher, he actually was given the warrior's end. So he's chilling with Odin, and he's like, dude, I shouldn't be here. I've killed a bunch of people. Like, what are you talking about? Why am I in Valhalla?
Do you know who the new one is then?
New Cosmic Ghost Rider?
Yeah.
His punishment is he gets to be the Cosmic Ghost Rider again. Fine, you don't want to be in Valhalla? Then go back to being your hellish ways.
Well, fuck, dude.
So
I would have just been like, can I take it back?
But the MacGuffin of the book is, you know what? If I've got one more chance at this and I can go anywhere that I'm going to go, I'm going to stop all this madness in the Marvel Universe from happening, and I'm going to go kill baby Thanos.
Oh, nice.
Shit, what?
Yeah, so this is like total.
Now he's up the ante. He's like, I'm killing babies now. It's cool.
Total fucking nonsense.
Is that
nonsense.
Just him punching a baby
punching baby Thanos in the face. He's attempting to give him the penance stare, but he's like, he's just too innocent at this point.
Yeah,
and it ends the most Donny Cates way it could possibly end.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Oh my god! What?
That's such
he's like, no, I shall change him.
Splashy splash page.
Yeah, Cosmic Ghost Rider number
that
one.
That's the other funny part too. Isn't the Cosmic Ghost Rider like in the Thanos comics?
He's introduced in Thanos. Yeah, by Donny Cates.
Yeah, it's just quite literally a like splash of like perspective.
It's fine.
Yeah,
I just punched a baby in the face. It's cool.
Yeah, punching a baby in the face. Jesus Christ.
And then, what do you do with your day? Fuck, dude.
Yeah.
I'll end with a quick crossover that Patrick and I have, which is Prism Stalker number 5. I love reading this book, and then I put it down and go, I have no fucking idea what I just read. I'm like, something happened, and there was a cool action and training sequences, and I got inside characters' heads as they were fighting each other, and aliens.
Yeah, and aliens, and there was the fight sequences, though, are, like, beautiful and brilliant. And I don't know what an echo is and
what
they mean by just fighting with echoes only. And then apparently that's a big thing when she didn't.
Right, where she like nearly cuts her sparring partner in half.
Yeah, because
well, they do just tell me, you cheated.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then, although that, she sees another human there too and like tries to buddy up with her. And man, when she does, that other human just rips Vep or Veep. I say Vep in my head. Yeah, she just rips her a new one. Like, you're not a human. You don't know the traditions. You don't even know the language. You don't know any of this stuff.
That was
rough.
There's so much in these books, and like, I can't wait to read this all as one trade because it's just so insane. Like, the crystal being is the Earth. Or the world that they're on, like, communicating with her through her echo and her mind.
And the,
like,
crystal that's implanted in them. And they can, that everything's, like, got connected and physical and, like, mental capacities. And
there was a weird Matrix-y vibe in this issue in particular about, like, separating yourself and your consciousness from what you think is supposed to be the correct answer or the correct way to respond to a situation.
Yeah, because that was interesting in the fight scene when they're like, use this to do this thing, which I have no idea what that actually
means. Yeah, like what that means.
I understand it's a thing to do. And she's like, I can't, she's thinking like this with the sparring partner, like they're moving too fast, like I can't, like keep up. And the instructor's over there, like you have to push yourself beyond what's possible. And then that kind of like comes together, like, there's this sort of realization from you and her, like, what that actually means, like, push yourself beyond what's possible. Like, literally doing something that
you're physically capable of
now. And then, so I don't know. I thought that was a really interesting, like, visceral, you don't really see that so well. Like,
yeah.
This is the comic where I'm like, I'm going to throw up from all the colors.
There's so much color. This is definitely one of those books, too. Like, I think
it's funny. This is, like, such a small thing, but I think it's funny that, like, they refer to all... That like all the aliens are apparently...
Just like, oh, I'm sorry.
That all the aliens are apparently female, so they refer to them all as she. And it's a little weird and jarring, because, like, you know, they're like... Look at this little thing. They're like, she is going to teach you the new, like, sparring methods today. And it looks like a little tiny kangaroo.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm assuming it beats the shit out of everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It moves ridiculously fast.
Yeah, you can just
see
it right here, like, jumping around. And, like,
it's like, it's fine. I just ripped your heart out of your chest. It's cool.
Yeah, pretty much.
This book is so kinetic. It's so kinetic, and there's so much motion. And the whole book is, like, stillness. Like, it's really over the course of, like, 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, I'm, like, looking at this, and I'm like, a unicorn threw up on there. I was like, oh, my God. I'm I'm so drunk from last night.
Yeah, like, the page, you feel like you should be, like, moving right. The comic book around, like, while you read it, like, really quickly. There's just so much dynamic.
Oh, my God, I'm gonna get fucking motion sickness now, too.
I know, like, you can really get motion sick just from reading this comic. I mean, yeah, like, look at, like, that, how dynamic that, like, fight sequence is.
Is that a ponytail or a tail?
I think
it's just a regular tail.
Yeah, regular tail on an
just a regular
female.
Tail.
You know what's funny is I didn't realize the female aspect of it until this issue. I was just all of a sudden like, oh yeah, you know what? I don't think there's any males in this.
Yeah, I don't know if that's like a specific thing, if that's going to come up. It's just kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because I love that too about this book. A lot of things, I think, do the Star Trek, like, paint a person green and call them an alien too often.
Right.
And this book, like, the aliens are... Like, a lot of them are literally alien. Like, you're just looking at them, and they're, like, part of this class that she's in, like, just her classmates.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, how does that even function? Like, how do you walk? Like, are there
right,
legs?
Like, the one that bought her was a quadruped sort of griffin-looking thing.
Yeah, it looked like,
a
weird lion with, like, wings and, like, a manta.
And it communicated, like, of a higher intelligence level than, like, humanity. Then.
So yeah, yeah, it was, like, yeah.
Whoever made this maybe took some acid. And maybe a few other things. And had a great night.
At some point, this has to be based on some sort of crazy, like, all the drugs.
Like a fever dream.
Yeah. Like, this is the kind of thing that you would expect somebody, like, who, like, smoked opium and then, like, had, like, an opium dream for, like, 4 hours and then woke up and wrote all of this down. And
I was like,
I know what I'm gonna do today.
My big question is whether or not it all comes together. Like, is there an end point, or are we just gonna, like, continue to dive into the psychology of, like, exploring your own mind?
I don't know, because it doesn't have, like, an of number.
No,
So it's ostensibly a series. There's no
protagonist, or I mean, no antagonist. It's not like it's her versus the world, I suppose.
Yeah, well, it's a man versus man, quote unquote, type of thing. So she's really just,
she's her own antagonist kind of at this point. See, they're training her for a specific, I don't know, this book is really cool.
They are training her for a purpose to be a warrior of some kind.
Yeah.
Who are they fighting? We don't know.
No idea.
At this point, it's kind of irrelevant, honestly, because it's just the ride.
Yeah. Well, we went really long on something that's just
I was just planning on being like, it's cool, great, buy it. And right. Here we are, like, parsing apart, like, every issue down to, like, the detail. Oh, man. Well, at the risk of ranting a little bit more, should we talk about Unnatural, since you and I cross over on that as well?
You had a really good description of, like, what the core... story point of this, or like the theme of this story is.
Was the, it the like, inappropriate one he gave me, or were we talking about like an actual
that, that, that is, using that the anthropomorphized animal to soften?
Yeah. So I guess I'll give you this is so a cool little backstory on it that I was reading. I guess this is Mirka Andolov or Andolfo, an Italian writer and artist, and he or she, excuse me, like does all the right scripts, coloring, and art for this. Damn. And she's Italian, so this was translated from Italian by Image.
I wonder if they have any words that they can't translate into our language.
Maybe, probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
They don't, in this book, they don't need the words.
Yeah, they don't need the words. This is a very...
That makes me scared to read it.
This is a very heavily sex-driven book, which is a little weird because all the characters are anthropomorphized animals. So, like, human, you know, like, the main character has, like, pig ears and a snout and, like,
yeah.
Whatever. And yeah, this is a very interesting take and a long tradition of using these like cute animals to really be able to soften the blow of talking extremely overtly about super cutting current social issues.
Yeah,
it's like I was reading this and I was thinking of some like a classic like Animal Farm, mm-hmm. almost, or
oh,
like
God, no.
even stuff like that. But this is about. Reproduction.
Yeah, well, it's reproduction, racism,
homophobia,
dealing with sexual harassment in the workplace, like...
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So much in this. The fucking cartoon. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, so there's a cartoon, like a little children's cartoon early on, and there's just a thing where it's talking about... Has, like, little cute drawings of, like, a boy and girl mouse, and then like boy and girl mouse equals heart, and then like a boy mouse and a girl dog equals sadness, and then a boy cat and a boy cat equals sadness. Yeah. Like, so, and then there's like apparently in this world there's if you're not married by a certain age, there's like a tax that gets put on you. And so like if you're a person attracted to, and it has to be specifically your same species and someone of the opposite gender, or yep. else you get taxed. And it's, like, crazy, too. Apparently, it can, like, make you homeless from what yep. they were talking about in it. So it was just, oh, man.
Well, and our lead character is having these super sexual dreams about a wolf, and she's sort of resistant to it.
She's a pig.
She is a pig.
I had to ask.
And, yeah, because she's, like, kind of, like, a really, like, goody, law-abiding citizen.
Yeah, like, it's like she does her job even though she kind of hates what she's doing.
Yeah,
like,
she has a conversation with her friend where she's basically like, well, the laws are a law for a reason. Yeah. Like, have you ever considered not breaking the law?
Oh, yeah, because her friend is gay.
Yeah, because her friend is gay. And interspecies, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. Like,
I forget what her boyfriend... Oh, the pig, because...
Oh, yeah, that's right, because... Yeah. Yeah, this is a weird book to talk about.
Yeah.
It's like,
because it's very NSFW.
Yeah, and it's beautiful.
But it is.
It's beautiful.
Is it beautiful in a horrific way? Or
no, it's like, it is objectively beautiful. Like, it's this amazing art that's soft and lyrical.
This is gonna come out so messed up. I'm like, that's the sexiest wolf I've
ever seen. I know, right?
That's the name of this episode. It's the sexiest wolf I've ever seen.
Yeah, all of us, you're gonna see us at the next furry convention. Apparently.
Oh, man.
I didn't know what to do with that. It's the only thing that came out of my mind.
I mean, you're not wrong. And it's a boy wolf, too, which I'm not even typically attracted to either of those things.
I don't know where we go from here. I'm crying.
Well, we can't go down in theory.
Oh, God damn it, Kat.
Somebody's going down.
No, nobody's going down on anyone here.
We might actually have to pause the recording.
Jesus Christ. Well, I think we broke Nat, so you know. See if we can get him fixed here. We'll call in the maintenance. Well, Nat recovers.
I'm sorry. It's just natural.
No, it's unnatural, actually. It's unnatural.
Good first issue.
Oh, man. Yeah, great first issue. Unnatural. And it's a 12-part limited series, so.
You guys still have any left in the store? I'm going to pick it up. Not because of the sexy.
Yeah. Run home. Run into the bathroom. Like, slam the door. Your girlfriend's in there. Like, honey, what are you doing in here? Nothing. Don't come in for the next 2.5 minutes.
I'm busy.
Yeah, I'm busy. Oh, my God. Nat, I really wish we had a camera in here. Nat is literally, like, facing the wall, like, putting himself in timeout, basically, because he's laughing too much right now. Oh, my God.
Whenever knowing me, I trip over one of the cats, it'd fall, and it would, like, hit the ground.
Yeah. Oh, man. So
we still have at least 2 books we need to talk about.
Yeah.
Hopefully none of these have sexy animals.
So I think to bring down the mood a little bit, as I do so well,
should.
Let's talk about Captain America number 1, Legacy 705. This is written by my boy Ta-Nehisi Coates and, well, future boy, hopefully. Like, you know, we gotta meet and then become boys.
<Good friends.
laughs> Sounds really weird when I use boy out of context of just my boy.
And then one of you needs to dress like a wolf.
Yeah. Oh, God. No. Okay. And art by Lionel Francis Yu.
Yeah.
So, wow. I was expecting Ta-Nehisi to go, like, pretty hard on this, like, with Captain America, but man, first few pages, right to the jugular.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, son. Like, he does not stop at all to instantly hit right where it hurts.
Yeah, this is really, boy, what a really, like, deep start to this run.
Wow.
And definitely, like, not ignoring the fact that the evil Captain America ran Hydra, you know, and it's like,
I think, like, the way they handle the events in why am I forgetting that the
name? Secret Empire
now in this one book is way better than that entire run,
right?
That I read.
It's better than Secret Empire.
When Agent Carter is like, he touched me.
That, oh man,
that line, I was like, it's like, you don't really think about that.
Well, so the Cap that was actually ahead of Hydra was not Steve Rogers.
Yeah, it was Steve Rogers.
Yeah,
that.
And so, yeah, she's like, you have no idea what it was like to be with him. He touched me.
Wait, who is it?
This is Agent Carter.
Agent Carter.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So he's just like a piece of shit all around.
Yeah. And I love, too, how they gave him his, this is totally different, but I love how they gave him, like, the super classic Captain America look for this, like, fight, especially because it opens up with him fighting these,
he's fighting
terrorists. Are they like cyborg
versions of Nuke?
So where is Captain America right now? Is he like
in Washington D.C.
is he in the other? No, I'm mostly saying, is he from the universe that Hydra Cap came from?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so this
That's
is
what
in,
I'm trying
this
to
is
understand.
In continuity.
Yeah, this is our original Captain America
yeah.
that was like trapped away or whatever.
So yeah, he's
that
fighting
came back.
Yeah, I knew that, but I was trying to understand where he was if he was in the evil Cap's universe.
Yeah, so
I wasn't sure. I didn't really look too much into his stuff.
Yeah,
who'd you say these are cyborgs?
they're Nuke.
Nuke. I don't know who that is.
He's in Jessica Jones, the one who takes all the pills and like gets superpowers.
Oh yeah,
that's the comic book version of
that. Oh, that guy. Okay, nice. But yeah, they're basically like these shirtless muscle guys with like the American flag painted on their face, and they're just like shooting up like the, what is it, like the mall, like the Washington Mall.
Yeah.
Like, that's how this comic book opens up, and they're screaming about, like, patriotism and that stuff, and Captain America is having this internal monologue of, like, they're wearing the same flat colors that I am. Like, what does this mean? Like, right, like...
Well, I think that's not... I mean, I think that's honestly a comment on
two different things, because, like, the way I view patriotism and how that is and how he views patriotism, now he's like, they're wearing my same flag. How can they believe this? Yeah. I think it's kind of like a...
No, that's exactly... Well, I think that's exactly where he's going with this.
Is and it comes up later that they don't want Captain America to be, like, the face of whatever the new S.H.I.E.L.D. organization will be because...
Yeah, because of that.
That imagery is like, yeah. Well, that's not exactly what we want.
They don't right want to, you know... A blonde-haired, muscled super soldier beating up, you know, who beats up people to be the face of the new S.H.I.E.L.D. Because S.H.I.E.L.D. got dissolved in Secret Empire, so they're trying to rebuild it, I guess. And then they're like, Bucky, either, we can't really...
Yeah, it's like, but he can come along as a spy.
Yeah, he's trained as a spy, so, but, yeah. And Captain America's all sad and alone. And, wow.
Yeah, this is a dark, like... harsh take on superheroes in our culture right now. Like, yeah,
that the whole idea of like, yeah, just so many very, very like current hot button issues coming together. And I mean, if anybody was going to write something like this with Captain America, it's going to be Ta-Nehisi.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that he got Captain America specifically to tell like an even more cutting story than like what is
this
it?
Come out this week too, or is it last week?
That was this week.
I
think there's some left. I'm like, goddamn it!
Yeah, I feel like he was like wanted to get Captain America after the crew didn't do so well.
Oh yeah,
canceling is like. He's like, oh, if you don't want me to tell the story I want to tell, I'm going to get your most, like, best-selling book
right.
And then tell the story in that.
Yeah, that's true. Like, bust it wide open.
Yeah. Because, I mean, with what he's doing on Black Panther, I'm sure Marvel is like, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, like, what, they have, like, 4 spinoffs of Black Panther since he started doing it.
In this other universe that the Captain America is in, I'm assuming that it's, like, a Nazi-driven area, right?
Dude, this Captain... No, this is our Earth.
No, it is our Earth?
Yeah, this is all in our society.
Our Captain America happening right now in continuing.
This
yeah,
is our
remember,
Cap
I didn't give a
back.
Shit about Secret Wars because I just didn't care. I knew that they had that whole thing with him. I was just curious about the fact that... Like, when, like, if he popped up in another, yeah, I don't know. I have to probably do some reading.
And then the classic, like, Glory Day cover, too.
Yep,
like,
Alex Ross.
Yeah, this is a beautiful, like, propaganda. Yeah, the cover is basically, like, a propaganda poster.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, great. Wow. Yeah, if you enjoyed the last run of Captain America, that was nice and had bad guy fights and big, you know, space travel, this is not going to be the same run. Oh, man.
So anyway. I guess we're hitting the final book of the day?
Just one fast one. They did a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 25-year anniversary issue. Read it. It's cute, especially if you watched it as a kid. It's great. It kind of kicks back.
Nice.
To some of the older stuff.
Cool. And then, yeah, so I guess the last thing we're going to talk about is we all read Catwoman number 1. This is art and script by Joel Jones.
You're an amazing woman. Don't ever go anywhere.
No, leave Catwoman and go to Wonder Woman right now.
Do both. Don't rob me.
Let's have a Catwoman Wonder Woman crossover.
Oh, I'm in.
Okay, that's pretty awesome.
Wonder
now
Cat.
If that doesn't happen, I'm going to be disappointed.
Wonder Cat? Cat Wonder?
Cat Wonder?
Oh, man.
I just have to say, first things first, like the front of the issue, it says, I do or I don't. Read Batman number 50 first, or I'll spoil the whole thing. I was like, you're a wonderful person.
It's pretty awesome, actually. Yeah, so this issue was good.
For an opening issue, I wasn't expecting a whole lot, but they, like, whooped my ass.
Yeah, they're definitely... I think they're introducing new characters. I'm not 100% positive
about
the villain.
Yeah, the villain that shows up, like, number 1, oh my god. She's creepy.
Yeah, pulling off all of the
well, it wasn't
accoutrement.
Yeah, it wasn't until she sat down that I realized, because that's when they actually give detail to her face a little bit more. Because when she's on camera, she doesn't look like that. But when she actually, like, sits down and you can see her, she looks completely, like, she looks like, you're like, okay, why does your face look so weird? And then she pulls her nose off, and I'm like, that's why.
Yeah.
So we also get to see a little bit of, apparently Batman does know where she's at, though.
Yeah.
Or at least Alfred does. Because she gets her old costume back, and that killed me a little bit, because I read that note. She tears up, she loses her mind for a second, and then she's like, nah, fuck this. Someone's using my name, I'm gonna go whoop their ass.
Yeah, we got
an imposter Catwoman.
Right, which makes a whole sense, because the first part of the book, I was like, oh crap, Catwoman has gone off the deep end.
Yeah,
she's shooting people up.
Yeah.
She shot someone, and I was like, what?
It's kind of reminiscent
of, and then
of
they cut to Selena Kyle, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it's kind of reminiscent of, like, the spider clone things, you know, where you'd have them opening up with Spider-Man shooting someone.
Right.
I would like to point out, she catches this imposter's whip. That's her whip that she's got around her wrist. I didn't realize that. I thought she caught it. She's like, nice outfit. Too bad for you. Looks better on me. And she elbows her in the chin, which I can tell you right now hurts like a bitch.
Yeah.
And she's like, you wish, you old bitch. Old?
Yeah, Joelle Jones' art in this book, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, dude, I love it. Her Selena Kyle is amazing.
Yeah, her Selena's maybe the best Selena I've ever seen.
Yeah, and the cat suit reminds me more of the, like, the Halle Berry Catwoman.
Which is so weird of a thing to, like, reference.
Yeah.
So.
Which, okay, not gonna lie, I liked the Catwoman movie.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I watched it when I was in middle school, and seeing Halle Berry in the Catwoman suit, it's pretty much
what I'm a little older than you, so Michelle Pfeiffer is definitely my Catwoman.
I mean, I'll take her too, it's fine.
Yeah. We need a Catwoman movie. Why aren't we talking about a Catwoman movie? DC's making all that shit. Wouldn't that be a great, like, a heist movie?
Yeah, that
like
would in be the super awesome. Villain? Like, we're getting like way off the mark.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like an Ocean's 11 style, like movie.
That would be awesome, actually.
Catwoman movie. Let's get Joelle Jones to write it, too.
Nice.
I always forget who her friends are. She doesn't really have friends, though. I'm like, I always forget who her friends are. She doesn't really have any.
That would be great, like, her and Harley and Poison Ivy doing, like, a...
I'd be interested in that, mostly just
Gotham
to see
City
what
Sirens.
Happens,
yeah, Gotham City Sirens. That would be awesome. Anyway, so...
My suggestion is read it. I'm going to keep reading it because I love me some Selena Kyle, and apparently she's about to be emotionally traumatized in ways I've never seen. Her running up this, up the... I don't even know if she... Is it, like, up an escalator, it looks like? On the actual middle part of the escalator to flip and do slide down the escalator to flip again.
Yeah.
to get into a train car, like...
It doesn't say, but I assume this is going to be a limited series, too, because...
I
don't think so. I think this is the beginning of Catwoman ongoing.
Which I'm cool with.
Okay, well, I think they'll probably have to get a new artist eventually, at least, because...
Yeah.
I love you, Joelle Jones, and I'm sure you're amazing, but I'm just concerned for your health if you just do an ongoing book forever by yourself.
Well, yeah, I mean, this will just be the beginning story.
Yeah. So
oh,
maybe
that's
for
why
the
it
next.
Says, all right.
I love your art too, but
it looks like she just. I hate putting it just, but it looks like she just does the
penciling.
Penciling, thank you.
Yeah,
no, Laura Allred does the.
No, she doesn't do the coloring, but
I mean,
but
still
penciling. And,
she pencils in inks, and yeah, that is
yeah.
From that perspective, that's like that. Yes, you inking is a huge part of the artwork, and.
Yeah, it looks like she does
she doesn't do the coloring.
I hate doing this just thing because I'm like, nah, she's writing and doing this. Fuck
yeah,
you.
But still, that's a lot of work. But
oh,
it's
God.
Worth it because your stuff is amazing.
Dude, I want to like hang this in my house. Can I have like a light? Can I have like I just want a big poster of this in my house.
There's a shot of just Selena. It's a one panel where her hair is like flowing over one side of her face, and just that would be the poster I want. It's amazing.
I don't know. I'm like, Selena Kyle, sure. I'll take it. It's fine.
So we kind of went off the rails on this one. But
yeah,
I think we're,
definitely.
I don't know. That other book kind of
right.
Shook me a little bit, all right?
Yeah.
It also shook Matt.
Well, I think that's about all we have for today. So should we go ahead and wrap it up then, y'all?
Cool.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Well, bye.
Bye.